Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Root of the Matter. I am your host, Dr. Rachel Carver. I'm very excited to have with us today half of the co-creators of an amazing group that they call Integrative You, and they have a podcast also, Integrative You Radio, which I really love. And he's another person I've met in my CellCor days and where I first learned about you, but I got really interested when I listened to one of you and your wife, Nicole's podcast, and it was really talking a lot about relationships. My podcast is really how do we show how oral disease manifests systemically and vice versa. And I think that this is a topic that is often completely ignored in conventional medicine and dentistry, but I can give example after example of how the mental, emotional state of our body reflects physical, and it can come out in teeth. Just this week alone, I think I saw 6 abscess teeth. I think I took out about 8 teeth, you know, due to just a terrible infection that we could not resolve any other way. And every single one of those, people would list stress as something that is occurring at them at this moment in time. We all know stress can be bad, but I'd love for you first, introduce yourself, tell us how you came into this field and your area of expertise, and then we'll go from there.
So yeah, thanks for having me. I am, like I said, half of Integrative You, the more on the mental emotional half when it comes to the health and wellness and kind of performance in life is my expertise. I started initially as a chiropractor. Long story short, but I had 6 concussions at the time when I was playing some college D3 football, and that forced me to stop playing football. And that was back in the day where we didn't really know too much about concussions and post-concussion syndrome and everything, but I started having a lot of GI issues. My mind became a roller coaster. I started using alcohol to numb myself from all of those symptoms I was having. And the only thing that I actually found that helped at the time was chiropractic. The traditional medical system wanted to put me on some medication, which I didn't want to do. Went and saw a therapist or two, and they really didn't have too much to say besides find a different hobby besides football, which I ended up picking up triathlons as that other hobby, as another form of distraction. But chiropractic didn't help me all the way. It helped me a lot. Then I got into functional medicine, which is more on the biochemical side of things. That connected the pieces of that gut-brain access. But I still quote-unquote, wasn't my old self. But I also knew that there was something missing. And that was when I got deep into the world of John DeMartini, he's a human behavior expert, working more on the mental aspect and balancing the emotional imbalances that we have that way. And that was a huge turning point for me. I've already done a lot of the groundwork and the neurological and the biochemical side, but that was a huge part that was missing. And then through that journey, I learned more of the Eastern medicine of meridians and chakras and how the body really works on the energetic side of things. And that was now my main focus is on that mental emotional aspect, just understanding the flow of creation goes from non-physical to physical. And in chiropractic, we always say above, down, inside out. So that above is the spirit to the mind, to the body. That inside becomes the resonance, the vibration of who we are, mainly through our heart chakra and center, but literally every single biophoton being emitted from the body sends out this vibration. And that vibration, then the universe grabs all that information as a feedback mechanism and then sends us real life back to us in that same or similar vibration. So that's the feedback loop of how we get to be able to experience life. Sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's not fun, but it's really just a feedback mechanism. That's why I love health, because health is just a journey for us to see how well in alignment or not we're living with our quote unquote higher self, with our mind and with our internal spirit.
Love it. Love it. Love it. And I think this is really important. We've talked about on the show before the concept of meridians based on Chinese medicine theory, right? That we have 12 main meridians and every tooth is connected to a meridian. Oftentimes somebody will come in, they'll have a toothache and I can't find any reason for it. There's no obvious infection. There's no obvious decay. What the heck's going on? And I'll pull out my kind of bioenergetic scan machine software that I have. And I'm looking, what's the deeper issue, right? Hey, what's happening in your stomach right now? Is there a physical ailment right in the stomach, which is on maybe that tooth meridian, or is there an emotion right? Because emotions are also connected to our meridians too. Maybe you can tell us a little bit, certain emotions that we may have, how they're connected and how they might manifest and as symptoms.
Yeah, it's interesting because so much, and this is why I still love to practice and I haven't like dove deep into just teaching, because when it comes to the science, our technology is getting better and Russia is probably crushing it the most on that type of biofeedback devices, which I'm like, what do they really have that they're not telling us about? Which could be a different podcast. But when you look at energy is always in a state of balance. And what becomes imbalanced is the perspective, not being able to see the balance within that space. And because we're in this dimension called the third dimension, which is governed by the law of space time, that shows us that it's the quality of our space that dictates the expression of time. And when we understand that, is that balance of space is just a charge. And every charge is a polarity. So like a battery, it has a positive charge and a negative charge. So that's always in a state of balance in space. So we have this, most people like in the spiritual, that we call it an aura. But in the medical, that's just our magnetic field. So when somebody goes and gets an MRI, that MRI machine is actually looking at the quality of that space. And that space, that information is actually telling us what's going on inside of our head, for instance, which is pretty cool that we have machines that can actually look at the space outside of us, tell us what the space inside of us is actually doing. So all of those charges are geopositionally in a state of balance. And what's fun about that is if we have an imbalance of happiness, Einstein taught us that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So there has to be an equal and opposite amount of sadness if there's a certain amount of happiness, because they're both imbalances when we think about it. One's an overly positive charge, one's an overly negative charge, even though we've been taught to be happy, which is bullshit. It's a one-sided life. The goal is to be love, be grateful, to be gratitude. That's the balanced. So when we have those balances, as Eastern medicine teaches us, that we have certain emotions that are held in certain organ systems. So hence anger and its variations are held in the liver, fear and fright. That could be in the kidneys, some of the lungs, grief's held in the lungs and the sinuses. So like grief is a huge thing that will affect the sinuses and will affect dental issues a lot as well. But what's interesting with this is that clinically I see, you know, from that scientific point of view, but I have so many theories and questions of what I see clinically that haven't really found 100% through science data yet, is just the understanding that every thought creates a vibration. But even most of what we feel, we say, all of that gets felt within the throat. Every single word we say is just a different vibration, a different tone. And that gets carried out through the throat, gets carried out through the mouth. And all of that energy gets felt by the teeth, gets felt by the nerves from every single tooth, gets felt by the meridian that goes from that tooth that goes to the organ system. So I'm also like, there is the geopositional of that's where this energy gets stored in the field. But in the body, I'm also curious of how much of that energy is directly going from the source, the mouth. First, there was the word, the sound. And then because of all those kind of like ley lines or entangled connections from the mouth to every single organ system, is that energy directly just traveling there? So if you have that imbalanced, overly negative or overly positive, because you can't really have one without the other. If you're overly pride, you're carrying around some shame or guilt somewhere in your life in that exact same moment. So what's fun is you have that entanglement coming from the imbalances of our perceptions of our self-talk. But then understanding the balance of that meridian cycle, and especially when you look at like the 24-hour clock, meridian clock, and every 2 hours we're cycling through different energy, is that you're going to have counterbalancing of having fire and water, and just the different elements are also, if one's over, one has to be under to counterbalance each other. So it's interesting to be able to look at, like you said, if a tooth showing up, to be able to look at the organ system, to be able to connect that with different emotions. But then to be able to also look at what's counterbalancing that, and that we may not think of it as a problem in our life because it feels good. But if we're attached to that feeling of good, like a fantasy. The fantasies is what creates the nightmares in our life. Most of us, we want to remove the nightmares in our life, but we want to hold on to the fantasy. But that's not how life works. You can't have one without the other.
Let's go back to my favorite one, that anger, resentment, the frustration that we all hold in our liver. Most of us these days, even kids, have overloaded livers because of this crazy, toxic world we live in. And if we have this anger, frustration, then we have to have the peace and the love and all that. Where do we find that? If we feel like we're buried in that kind of emotion, how do we?
You can't have peace without war. And so I guess this might be a quick taking a step back. A lot of times I'll use love because I love the word love, but most people, when they think of love, they think of the romantic love. They think of love being the high, like you're getting all the support you need, but that's like superficial love. That's the love, the support, what's most important to you, your highest values. But that's not like unconditional love. Unconditional love, or like love, love's like the state of your soul. And your soul, the acronym I have for it is your state of unconditional love. That's your soul. So your soul is that balanced energy. And the definition of love that I found, actually this is from John DeMartini, who I stole it from, is love is the synthesis and synchronicity of opposites. So when we can see that everything that we believe is a challenge is also there to serve us, and everything there to support is also there to serve us, that everything's actually that feedback mechanism to just help us grow to be a higher, more authentic, loving version of ourselves, then everything's on the way. Nothing's in the way. And like when we look at like Buddhist teachings, it's like the only suffering that we have is our attachments. And those attachments is what creates that polarity charge. And then you look at health and symptoms of actually cells. It's when that polarity charge drops down far enough, then the cell doesn't actually able to utilize oxygen. And then it becomes anaerobic. And then we have tumors and cancers and breakdown, and then fungal invasions come, and then we have parasites that like to eat everything, and it's just like a shitstorm.
And I think this is so important. And in my journey, one of the things I found most profound when I developed my eczema all those years ago, it was like, oh, this is so horrible, blah, blah, blah. Until I started to realize, hey, had I not developed this eczema, I would not be talking to you right now, right? I would not have gone through this journey to realize what my purpose on this planet in this lifetime is, because I never would have gone to look for, because I said, I think I was always an outside of the box thinker. Maybe I always had a little bit of a higher consciousness, but I wasn't able to tap into it until I was presented with the obstacle. So then trying to heal myself was like, that was my motivation to the universe, in my opinion, my universe telling me, this is your path, go down this path. And until I saw it as a gift, it was so much harder to deal with. And I'm not perfect. I go through all those times where we go through the anger and the frustration and all this and wanting to do other things. But I think if all of us, and I think you hear so many cancer survivors who say it was the best thing that ever happened to me, right? Because
You won't survive it if you can't surrender into it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Because these people are like, wow, it really made me reevaluate my life. It's these wake-up calls. And so I've never thought about it that way. It's really interesting to think about the balance that, yes, that is what the universe is all based on. That's what we talk about. I talk to my kids about all the time, right? They're going to go out and eat their Chick-fil-A and drink their Starbucks. And I said, okay, but we got to balance that then with the good supplements and the good whole foods and fruits. Cause I'm like, you can't live at either extreme.
You're right? Eating chlorella before and after.
Always. My kids, they've got their cell core binders with them at all times. Now they're teenagers. So we're presenting all those interesting challenges where I got to let go a little bit, but hope that, it's in there. But that's what I talk about all the time. Balance. I am not going to forbid you from doing these things.
I think that's a hard balance. Our son's only two, but that's my job, is to help people on that mental, emotional state every single day. And as parents, we want to provide what's best for them. And what's best usually is coming from our perception from our voids. But it's always about creating, I always say about creating leaders, because you want somebody, especially our kids, to be able to lead themselves. And that just comes to installing, like, most parents try to be dictators. We try to tell you, show you, have you do what I think is best instead of, let me actually just teach you first how to develop a question and how to question things. Because it's the quality of your life is dictated by the quality of the questions you ask. So let's start teaching the young kids how to ask questions, how to observe. And then from that observation, you're learning how to feedback. You're like, what's helping me? What's building me up? What's making me stronger? What doesn't make me feel good? So yeah, go eat Chick-fil-A if you want. But then observe the rest of your day. Did that give you energy? Did that create a pain in your stomach? Or did you want to go be active and go do fun things? Or were you wanting just to be a couch potato and not be exciting and not hang out with friends and be introverted? Like, how did that affect you? Start asking questions. And that's, unfortunately, or to be a whole nother side tangent, but our school system doesn't teach how to ask questions. We teach how to answer questions.
I think that's such a great point. And this is what my therapist is always telling me. If you want to, now that your kids are teenagers, you're not so much parenting as there's got to be a little bit, you got to try to develop the friendship or else you're going to lose them forever once they're out of the house. And that's what she's always saying. Ask questions instead of saying, oh, you feel crappy after Chick-fil-A, told you, which is probably what our parents said to us,
yep.
That it's so important to exactly what you're saying. And my older daughter's really struggling in her high school right now because she is not a robot and her mind and everything is just not. She said to me the other day, I ask all my teachers all the time, how am I going to use this in the real world? And they say, you're not. So she says, well, why am I paying attention to this? She's also very creative. So having that really rigid structure, public education is not serving her. And as a mom, I'm frustrated because I want her to achieve and do well. And mm-hmm. I'm having to rework my brain and again, think about, okay, how is she going to be a good person? Doesn't matter if she gets all A's, like I have to get away because that's how I was raised, right? I always wanted to do well because that's how my parents were raised. It's this generational thing and achieving, that's how I got love and affection and attention. And so this journey's the parenting has been really challenged because I've been learning along the way. Now I'm like, oh, if I could have kids now, I'd get it right. You know, sure. But that is interesting, is always asking the questions, getting them to understand.
And that's a great question for her is because it's the same thing as we can ask other people, but then we're a victim to them. Like then we're a victim to how good the teacher is because it should be the teacher's responsibility to figure out how can I teach this so that you can use it. That's difficult in today's because every student has a different set of values and hierarchy of what's most important to them. You're going to have a jock football player that is, okay, so I need to teach you this via like the angulation of this pass so that you can get it to a certain amount of yards or a kick or something like that. Or how much force do you need to be able to actually tackle this football player at this angle, at this momentum? That's okay. So that's how you can maybe teach some jocks, but then how are you going to teach it to a band geek? This is the rhythm that has mathematics built into it, that has different variations of pitches into it. So you have to be able to have a teacher that cares enough to be able to teach whatever they're doing to be able to actually serve and support somebody. Most teachers, they don't care enough. There's also, in today's aspect, we need a fair exchange. Teachers don't get paid very much. So when you don't get paid very much, it's like, how much energy are you going to put in to the service for most people?
How much do they have to teach to these tests? You just have to like try to shove the knowledge down you versus teaching people how to learn. I think that's valuable. When my kids were little, we used to read to them every night. And now at Tina, they're like, we hate reading. And I'm like, I hope they will come back to it, realizing that's how I've amassed all my knowledge since graduating from college is just reading and reading, finding what interests me. But yeah, it's really interesting. How about we talk about frequency a little bit more, maybe explain to the audience. I think this is really important in mentioning how frequencies from all sorts of things can affect our body. When we're talking about all these toxins, all the radiation, all these kind of things mm-hmm. that are invisible, how they can impact our health.
Yeah. So this is an interesting area because as we talked about earlier, everything alive, I guess I didn't go this deep before, but everything has a vibration to it. And a frequency as well. So the difference between most people don't understand, well, what's the difference between a vibration and a frequency? The vibration is like the wavelength something is resonating at. And that's like the vibration. The frequency is the amount of like pulses in a sine wave per second That's the frequency of something showing up. So that big aspect has a lot to do with the intensity of something, as well as how often it's happening throughout time. Usually use the second as that measurement, as the duration. So the more we experience something, the more frequent, the more frequency of something is, the more we're going to be affected by it. Which is interesting, because then you look at techniques like Wim Hof and its powerful breathing techniques. You look at any time that somebody's in a state of gratitude and love, that it doesn't matter what's going on around them, that the feedback mechanism, their heart stays in a very coherent state. So there's a lot of these tests going on. They're looking at the electrical aspect of the body going to that stress state. As we started off, stress is the silent killer, but stress is a perception. And we only experience stress when we can't adapt. So anytime that we can't adapt, that's when we start expressing the symptoms of being in a state of stress. So that's why when we control our breath, that changes what we can adapt to or what we can't adapt to. Okay. And
do right there and reiterate what you just said, that stress is a perception. I think that's really 100%. Important for everybody to take a second and think about that. You know, two people can be in the same situation, right? And one person, you know, flies off their back, no problem. The other person becomes stressed. So again, not necessarily what happened, the experience, but how your brain is interpreting that experience. And so that's really important to understand, because those kind of perceptions and that brain's adaptability can improve. You can change that. You don't have to always be stressed. Say every time you hear sirens or see those blue lights, how many of us get our heart starts beating a little bit faster and start sweating a little bit, right? That's a programmed reaction in our brain if we've ever been stopped by the police. Not that I ever have, never, of course not.
But at the same time, somebody that maybe got their life saved by a rescue mission, they're going to have a complete opposite response to those sirens. They're going to feel safe and protected, where somebody else is like, oh, they're coming at me, I'm going to get a ticket, like violation. So it's like that perception is so powerful. From that perception state, when we get into that state of stress, then we can adapt. And that's breathing is very powerful, because breathing changes the nervous system, because it's actually your perceptions. And this is that non-physical to physical. So our perceptions, that creates that belief, that our beliefs create our emotions. Our emotions actually dictate our thoughts. We always have an emotion before a thought. I used to think it was the other way around. I used to think it was the quality of our thoughts created if we had an emotional response or not. But then I read this paper. God, what was this? I forget the university it was published by. But it was up to 8 or 9 seconds before a thought, they were able to neurologically see that they were expressing an emotional response before they were even conscious of it, which was wild. Like, still blows my mind. So this imbalanced perception, this belief system, is what creates that ability to, like you said, I'm not affected, or, oh shit, like, I'm freaking out. And that then goes through and creates a neurological response. That neurology drives biochemistry. But when you look at the heart, that information going to the heart first goes through a nervous system, and that changes our breath. That allows our breath to increase, become rapid, hence to a stress, chaotic, sympathetic state, or digest, relax, parasympathetic. So our breathing is what controls, quote unquote, for the most part, the expression of life. But as we go before the breath, what controls the breath is the perception. So the best thing we can do is to work on balancing our perceptions. And the only difference between those two people in the room, that one wasn't phased and one was, is that the person that was balanced, they had greater awareness. And for the most part, that is not something we're born with, unfortunately. It would be nice if it was, but that creates work. And I think a lot of the times, especially in America, I've traveled to a decent amount of countries, and Americans, we're lazy. We like to be entertained. We don't like to do the self-work. That's why big pharma makes so much money, is because they'd rather just take something and not do any work and just feel better very quickly. Short-term pleasure, long-term pain. And the other aspect is that most people in America, because it's not norm, is that we don't know what tools and techniques to do to actually help balance out that perception. And that is, I think, the two main primary reasons why our nation is in the place that it is right now. But that effect is just huge on our physical health, but also looking at the oral health. It's like, how many issues comes from the body being in a constant state of stress? And when that's happening, we're constantly clenching. Everything's down and we have decreased blood flow. We have a decreased amount of lymph because of all the contraction of our upper muscles. And then when lymph builds up, then our tonsils get inflamed. And our tonsils get inflamed, then all that goes back into the oral cavity. And then the sinuses, and your brain's not pooping. And then we have dementia, and we have Alzheimer's, and we have all these neurological diseases that are, now they're coming up with new and new neurological diseases because people's brains are inflamed. It's not rocket science.
I have to say probably 50% or more of the patients I see have these swollen tonsils, right? And so many times people are like, they've always been swollen. And I'm like, okay, but they're not supposed to be, right? That's not a normal thing. So you've had this congestion your whole life, right? And that's really, I love the way that you explain that, even just coming from a stressful state by clenching of the jaws. And that's what I see so many people who have temporomandibular joint disorder. It is their neck, their shoulders, there's just tension throughout the whole body. And so just giving them a splint or a guard or something like that doesn't even come close to solving the problem there. Yeah, all my patients who have temporomandibular joint disorder, 99% of them have the neck and the shoulder issues, right? So when you just give them a guard, a splint or something, it's really not. So it's putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. We really got to look, why are we having those issues? And it's multifactorial, but again, it's simply just throwing a splint in there is not. It may help symptomatically a little bit, but we got to get at that root of the stress. And it reminds me of one of the first episodes of your podcast that I listened to was all about relationships. And I'd love to talk a little bit more about this dynamic, because this is something I think that I struggle with, and being mad at my husband or mad at my kids. And when I really reflect on it, I'm like, it's not their fault. It's how I'm reacting. For my younger daughter today, my older daughter was looking for her speaker.
It's their fault, but it never is.
It would make life easier, right? But my older daughter was looking for a speaker, and I said to my younger daughter, "Where's the speaker?" And she's like, "Why are you screaming at me?" And I'm like, "I wasn't screaming. I didn't think I was screaming, right?" But she has this perception that I'm always screaming at her, right? This is how her nervous system developed from a young age, thinking I'm always screaming at her. And so it doesn't matter what my tone of voice is or what I'm thinking, she's perceiving it that way, which is not awesome. So I'm trying to learn these skills, how to communicate better. My husband and I have those same issues. We'll be having a conversation, and I feel like he's yelling at me or not supporting me or not agreeing with me. So then I'm like, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. You're not supporting me. And again, the way both of us grew up, doesn't matter how we think we're talking to the other person is perceiving it. And so I see this a lot, even with tooth pain. This is a part of that stress, the relationship stress that we put on each other. And how many people are divorced, right? One out of two couples ends in divorce because we're not learning how to communicate. Speaking about school, right? We're not learning how to communicate. Now everybody's on the device all the time. You don't even have to communicate face to face anymore. So is it a wonder that all these relationships fail, that we have all these issues, that we'd rather sit in our dark room on a device where nobody can impact us? So tell us a little bit about how can we navigate these relationships?
Yeah, I want to honestly start a step before that, because most families, they honestly don't spend that much time together. Most of the time, the kids are in school, the parents are working, and then they get home. And that's when the quote unquote, the chaos at home starts. And there's really, there is that side of the relationship factor, but I think the bigger elephant, honestly, in the room that most people aren't talking about is that you're spending the most majority of your life doing something that you don't like. And then you get home and you just resented the majority of your day wasting your life. It's black and white. I don't mean to be harsh like that, but I do. If you have to go to work, life should be full of get-tos. It's get-to is a state of love. Have-to, you're breaking yourself down. You're not building yourself up if it's something you have to do. So if you have to get up and go to work, you're going to finish your day. And what kind of vibration? What kind of frequency? Not a very loving one. And then you're going to go home and you're already going, like your threshold just got beaten down throughout the entire day. And then you're going to go home and the smallest little thing is just going to set you off. And because you have the freedom to be yourself at home, you can lose your shit. You wouldn't lose your shit at work because then you're going to lose your job and then you don't have the money to care for your family, etc. So you can lose your shit at home. And then that other person, whether it's son, child, wife, husband, they did the same thing. Their threshold's down. So you maybe had a little snarp remark and they're like, oh yeah, I'm just going to give it back to you. And it's a way intelligently for both individuals to release everything that they've been holding up throughout the day. So in one aspect, it's actually crazy intelligent. It's just that how we're doing that release is not a very therapeutic, intelligent way. And which takes us to the other point is that we haven't been taught how to communicate. And that first part of communication is, even going to school, is we do it verbally, but not everybody is auditory learner. Not everybody receives information auditory. Some people are very kinesthetic, very feeling. Some people are very visual. So we have to figure out how, especially with our family, because we communicate with them the most, like, how do they receive information? A lot of times when I'm working with my wife, because I work with her, we had to figure this shit out because it wasn't working, which is, I think if you're an entrepreneur with your spouse, it's either the best thing or the worst thing for your relationship, sometimes both. You can't have one without the other, as I was saying. But that allows you to figure out, how do I communicate with this person? Do I need to write things down, allow them to read it, and then have a discussion? Like, how, what's just, and everybody's different, but you got to figure out what structure, because just like business, if you don't have a system in place, then you're just winging it. And when you wing it, it doesn't work out well. So you got to have actually a structure of how you communicate. And that structure may be broken down to build it back up to make it stronger, but you need to have a structure of how you communicate with the spouses. And then you need to have a structure in place of how the spouses communicate with the children. And it's just like a business. That's what I love, is that we mastered the business side before mastering the relationship side. But once we realized that, holy shit, it's the exact same thing. It's just, you treat your family like you treat a business, you know, to make it run well. Otherwise, if you don't put that much effort and energy into the family, it's going to be a chaotic business. And you're not doing it to be a dictator. It's a very decentralized kind of business and family structure. But you're allowing everybody to be able to take on that responsibility, take on that leadership. And it's not put on just one person, which is imbalanced. So that's the first part of relationship, is you have to all work together. And for everybody to work together means you have one aim. And if you don't know what you're aiming at, guess what? It's going to be hard to come to a solution, because you don't even know what the, is that solution serving you? Is that serving your husband? Is that serving one of the children? Is that serving everybody? How do we know? So you have to figure out what that aim is. For us, we go through and we figure out the hierarchy of the values for each person in the family. So I have my set of values, so what's most important to me. Somebody's hierarchy of values, what's most important is going to be also what's most productive for me. So when you build somebody up, you allow them to use their zone of genius. And this is fun in the household, because everybody's going to have a different zone of genius. So it's like, when you're putting out responsibilities for everybody, you want to connect that responsibility that's actually going to serve them. You don't want to teach your kids to do something that's not going to serve them, because that's just, you're not respecting and valuing them for being them, which is a really bad, quote unquote, thing that I think teach our children. So everybody has their own individual set of values, but to allow the family to be a team to work together, we have to figure out the values for the entire family. And this is one of my favorite things, because it's also one of my favorite things to do in business, is to get crystal clear on what's the values of the business. Because that is like the structure that holds everybody accountable. If somebody in a business, if they keep messing up, if they're not being productive, you can easily say, go back to the values and, hey, either you're not in alignment with your values or you're not in alignment with the business values. Let's take a quick look. 1, 2, 3, you're in alignment with serving yourself. Let's look at the business. Oh, you're not serving the top value. You're breaking that one. Third one, you're in alignment with. So you can quickly see that there's not a fair exchange here. And there's not a fair exchange, somebody's losing, which isn't fun. We want everybody to grow and win together. So in the family, we can do that. We can set that family values and then make sure that there's a fair exchange. That when decisions are made that are affecting the entire family, the family's values are being served, but also every single individual in that family, their values are being served. And there's a fair exchange. Hence, we're back into a state of homeostasis and balance. Gratitude is felt. Love is experienced.
Good stuff.
Does that take work? Yes. But if you want to live a high quality life, you got to work for it. But that's I have to.
And this is something I try to tell my kids all the time. Success shouldn't be measured in how much money or how many things that you have. Sure, it's nice and comfortable. You can feel secure. I said, but I believe that the real love, happiness, joy comes from the quality of relationships that you have with other people. And so I'm always trying to encourage my kids to cultivate those relationships with each other, with us, with other people in the outside world. Because just like you're saying, when you feel like your values are being appreciated, you're living up to it, that's when you're feeling the joy.
So you just want to make sure that your values aren't the family values, because the family values should be a combination of just like how you would answer anything for your entire family, but not necessarily just you. If that makes sense.
I like that idea of, you know, thinking of chores. I want my kids to be responsible. I want them to be able to be independent when they leave the house. And they're pretty lazy, like you said, most Americans, right? But it's interesting is leaning into what are their strengths? What are the things that they love to? Because they're going to be more apt to do those things if they feel that it is serving them in a certain way.
Yeah, some kids, they like structure. They like organization. So we'll have them organize things. Have them, not necessarily maybe it's cleaning, but it's organizing. And then somebody likes, they don't care about organized. You can tell, walk into the room. It's just clothes and chaos everywhere else. But they love being outside in nature. And it's okay, guess what? You get to do more of the yard work. Like, let's figure out what actually kids enjoy and then allow them to do more of that. Same thing with adults. Figure out what you enjoy and just do more of that and stop doing things you don't enjoy. Delegate that because somebody else is going to enjoy it.
It's all good. And you guys have so many, you know, we'll talk about it a little more at the end, but you guys have so many great resources and workbooks. And I bought several of them that work with the family because I really feel like this is so fundamental for our health, right? We cannot separate that mental, emotion, and especially, you know, those relationships that we have with our family members, like totally describe my days. I'll be so spent from work and I come home and yes, the little thing will just set me off. The kids, they didn't do the laundry. Ah! Like in the scheme of things, does it really matter?
The opposite too, because now I do all telehealth, telecoaching, and I'll get done and I'm like, I crushed it today. And if I'm not conscious and I reset myself, I'll go downstairs and wham, Dr. Nicole puts me right back in my place. Or like I walk downstairs and I'm like, the dogs are just made a huge mess. And it's just, there's that balance of energy. So if I'm coming down and I'm all prideful, the universe is going to do something to bring me back down. So it's always, it's interesting, but the more awareness we can have and to constantly be bringing ourselves, equilibrating ourselves back into that homeostasis, the less we're going to actually have to deal with the universe, the environment around us, trying to bring us back into that state of, and that's all sickness and diseases, is it's just symptoms trying to bring us back into that state of balance.
So, you know, we can take all the medicine and do all these things. Again, where is the imbalance in our life?
There's very few things. Like if we're, you know, in Hiroshima, and there's that radiation toxicity. yeah, like we're going to be affected by that. But there's very few times that our environment is the true root cause. It's usually inside of us.
Totally believe that. And I just so excited to talk to you today, because this week it was like, wow, man, everybody, it was just so much pain and inflammation. And I just, all these patients, I was like, oh man, what's going on this week? Where is the imbalance, right? That we're having so many, felt like I was doing more of that and treating all these emergencies versus doing some of the maintenance and regular stuff that I get to do. And I always want to give to my patients these uplifting messages, because I believe mm-hmm. that all disease is preventable, but it's easier said than done. And so I always want to prevent that extraction and prevent the root canal. So what is the information and the awareness that I can create? One of the reasons I'm doing the podcast, I want people to be aware of all of these things, because in today's day and age, you've got to be your own doctor, right? You've got to know your body. If you really want to be well, if you really want to live your best life, you need to drop back into your body, right? And these are, like you said, so many people
to know thyself. They don't care. That is the highest form of awareness. Yeah. And that comes through reflective awareness. And it's just we're just going through cycles. That's honestly all life is an opportunity to know thyself and to love thyself. That's what I think the purpose of life is. And when you look at it cyclically, it's, you have to fall, you have to lose, you have to fall, you have to lose in order to gain. You can't have a gain without a loss. And when we look at creation, all creation comes from one to many. That's the law of one to the many, which is why, not to get in a religious state, but it's like why we taught from, we have God, and then we're all in the image of God. So that one, we have to lose ourselves, hence us also, because we're just energy cyclical. We have to lose ourselves. And from that loss, we have to experience pain, pleasure, the whole range of all the emotions to be able to bring that back into a state of equity, equanimity, and love. And when we do that, we increase our vibration, our radiation, and we come out of those many emotions and we start that journey back to becoming that singular one. What's fun with that is when we zoom out and we look at, okay, if we're all an image of God and we're all that one to the many, that we're all just a different wavelength for the one to be able to experience itself. Which is interesting when we look at ourselves, we're one, but we have the many inside of us. And we have different continents, organs inside of us. And each organ has thousands, hundreds, thousands of these cells and atoms that makes up those cells. And so it's this constant overlapping, one of the many, one of the many. And most of the time, we're not aware of the health of those continents until we have symptoms. Not that we can't be aware, it's just that we haven't been taught how to be aware. And that's why one of my favorite tools is meditation, is because meditation can actually allow us to become disconnected from the conscious mind and connect to the unconsciousness to be able to actually create that relationship and understand how every single aspect, hence to know thyself, to be the doctor for yourself, you can get information and conscious awareness of things before they're actually a physical symptom, because we're getting away from the physical symptom, which is the superficial consciousness, the consciousness of our lower self, our body, and we become actually connected with our higher consciousness to be able to actually see what's going on inside of us, the non-physical. And when we do that, we really, I think, transcend the definition of doctor, which is teacher, that we're able to know thyself so that we can teach ourselves to love ourselves, and then we reap the rewards of living in that gratitude, that balance.
So well said. Fantastic. As we finish up, anything else you want to leave our audience with? Definitely please tell us how we can reach out to you and your website so they can learn more about how you and Dr. Nicole work.
I think I've gotten probably deep enough for your clients today. But if they want more, I'll be happy to get back on and get deeper. But yes, we have a whole podcast called Integrative You Radio. Integrative www.u.health is our website. So both of those places have tons of information on, and we are literally just in the process of rolling out a whole new platform and service called your higher self architecture. And this is like one of the things that has driven both Dr. Nicole and I, is that starting as a chiropractor and getting into functional medicine and then learning about the mind, is that for the most part, we're trying to find root cause. And that root cause, it goes through a life cycle. And what we found is, it's like we can treat a tooth, or I can help you clean out parasites or fungal aspects and this and that. But it's, guess what? If we haven't changed that cycle, it's going to come back again eventually, because you didn't create the space, actually. You dictated the expression of time, but you didn't change the space. So we have to go through, and really the higher self architecture is like a journey going through and working on all the different aspects of being able to figure out those highest values, connecting to your internal spirit to be inspired, figuring out the imbalances of the mind, and being able to have the tools, whether it's from meditation or some aspects of Demartini, and to be able to use those tools to balance the mind so that the body is going to be governed differently. And then to be able to clean out the body, because energy is bidirectional, to be able to give it the nutrients, the energy that it wants, and to also be able to refer to experts like you when they have an oral issue. It's, hey, we got to clean this up. So it's all one big game, but when we can see it for how it truly works, we can live some pretty awesome lives.
Absolutely. I love what you're saying about, you know, because I know sometimes my eczema would flare again. I'm like, what the heck? I thought I got rid of all my parasites or whatever. So I love that you're saying it's, there's still that energy out there, or those perceptions in my nervous system that still need to be tweaked or whatever it is. And that's the thing, one of my symbols for my podcast and other things is the infinity symbol, right? Because there's no beginning and end to health, right? It's, we're constantly changing, constantly thinking, we're in different situations. So there isn't an end goal. And if the goal is to learn ourselves, love ourselves, there's always a continuous journey to go on. Because as we get older, we go through different phases of life where our relationships change, our kids get older and leave. So I love that. And I love the work that you guys are doing.
New chapter, new problems. Yes.
I think it's amazing. So I encourage everybody to go on their website, look at what they're doing. They have so many resources that are just invaluable. I love their podcast. So please check them out. And maybe next time we'll get Dr. Nicole on, because she's lots of fun too. And we'll dive into kind of her side, some more of the biochemical and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, we are very different.
That's good to have. Like you said, everybody has their own little vows and own stuff. And I think that's what's really powerful about the two of you working together, right? Because you complement each other. And so for all of your patients, it's wonderful. It takes a village, right? And that's what I'm desperate to work with, a community of people too, because I know a lot, but I can't be everything to everybody. So It's amazing to have that community. Thank you so much for taking
your time.
Well,
it's been a pleasure, Dr. Carver. Yes, thank you.
Afternoon, and hopefully we'll talk again very soon. For everybody listening, thank you so much. If you loved the podcast, just leave us a review. Let us know what else you'd like to hear about. Have a wonderful rest of your day, everyone.